freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
Brock Huard is my hero.
What Brock Huard says?
No, he's not a friend of mine.
Subscribe to receive every episode at Apple Podcasts or on Google Podcasts.
Ah, we stink, man.
Now, here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
No way!
Well, here we go with another Brock and Salk podcast, and we don't stink, man. Certainly the Mariners don't stink.
Certainly the Seahawks don't stink.
Slider still stinks.
Oh, that stank!
Michael Pineda just went on the injured list again.
He's having a rough year.
Yeah, that's sort of how it goes. I wanted
Who
them to
that?
Get him.
Yeah, who's that voice?
Oh, that's Howdy. So, he's back. He's here.
Oh, Howdy's back.
Yeah. We're not alone today.
I've emerged from the forest. I was in the forest.
With Aaron Rodgers? And what's her name? Blue Earth?
Yeah.
Howdy, I was in the forest. Strange question for you. I've never asked you this in 13 years. Do you forage for mushrooms?
I hate mushrooms. No, okay. I don't forage for mushrooms at all. Okay. But let me tell you something.
Would you? If you liked mushrooms?
Oh, yeah.
Because that'd be free.
I can sell you a mushroom like nobody's business.
What do you mean you could sell me a mushroom?
One of the great things that Sazio's has when I was working there is a really nice mushroom display with a lot of different options.
It's true, yeah.
And I knew how to sell and which kinds of mushrooms you should be using for which kinds of dishes and how to prepare them.
I think that makes sense. You're kind of a fun guy.
Yeah. Oh. Thanks.
I totally thought of you.
Mushroom joke.
Too, Howdy.
That took Howdy a second. He didn't get the mushroom joke. There it comes.
I got you.
Now he gets it.
Yeah, the laugh was about the joke. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thought of you as well. I walked by a garbage can this morning. I got a haircut today. Walked by a garbage can. Top of the garbage can in a box were a lot of Krispy Kreme donuts.
Mm. You're like,
in a box.
In a box.
It's the Howdy recipe right here.
In a box.
And I'm like, Howdy's taking these out. He's pulling it right out of the trash. They're in the box. He's going for these.
Mike Salk is dry heaving over that same one once he figures out where I got them from. That's what's happening.
Later in the day, like,
I think there's arsenic in them. I think somebody peed on these.
That's me in the background. What did Howdy do to these things?
That was a fun day. Oh, that was a fun guy.
Howdy brought in the trash donuts. Ridiculous.
Trash cookies were good.
Yeah, trash cookies. I don't know what we're doing. I assume we're starting with the Mariners, right? I assume?
The start of training camp.
That's the first day of camp.
I assume we're starting with the Mariners.
Really?
I assume we are. Are we not?
It's July 27th.
Yeah.
We've been waiting for the first day of training camp. First day of Geno Drew. First day of Refuse to Choose.
That was a listener suggestion we got. Yeah, because Brock says that, what's the Broncos is Let's Ride.
Yeah.
That's the t-shirt. So he said, what would the Seahawks one be? And our listener wrote in immediately and said, Drew and Geno Refuse to Choose.
That's really good.
Well, that's where I'm at. Until Jimmy shows up, Brock, the Seahawks are going to lead, or the Mariners are going to lead today. I don't know what to tell you.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, last night, the walk-off win and finding a way, the whole Julio saga with the finger, or the wrist, rather, excuse me. Howdy, where were you? I talked to Brock a little bit about it. Where were you on Wristgate?
I didn't think it was a big deal because it's a short amount of time, and I couldn't care less. I wanted him to have his moment, and I wanted the Mariners to have the moment of their guy being on that stage, even if it cost them a few more games. I thought they were overmatched against the Astros coming into the series anyway, so I didn't really care. I was all for it, and I'm glad he's back, and I'm glad it's not a real injury.
We'll see. We'll still see whether or not
he's playing again today.
Good.
He hit a homer yesterday. I mean, there's a lot to say that this is probably done.
It's probably nothing. And I really, obviously, sincerely hope it is. And I'm glad that they gave him all 3 days off, let him rest up entirely, or 4 days off, really. Let him rest as entirely as you possibly can. I have no issues with that whatsoever. I'll be curious when he's got a real tough check swing, whether or not it affects him at all. I was thinking about it last night when Santana had those two tough check swings late in the game in that final at bat. And you're like, yeah, that's all wrist strength, right? Wrists are really important for baseball players. If this is nothing more than just a little bruise, he'll be just fine. But it is the same wrist that he fractured 2 years ago. Not that long ago. 2 years ago, fractured the wrist. I don't know whether he had surgery on it. I think he did, but I'm not sure. Maybe they just rested it out. But
that
he missed.
And that was a contact injury.
Right.
Hit by a pitch.
He missed significant time, right? And so, yeah, I will admit to some concern. And the fact that something happened and then he was in the Derby, it just didn't quite smell right.
And then he steps up to plate for his first at bat at 4 days off. And was that not just quintessential Julio
this
season?
One of those moments. I don't know if you've heard the play-by-play, but Riz is chuckling, as he calls it. He's just like laughing. He's just chuckling. It's not a full Rick giggle. But he's laughing because, like, what can't this kid do?
Of course. I think that was what Titus said. Of course he did.
Right.
Of course he did. And you know who's even into him? Like, I think this is the first superstar in a long time. And I think you mentioned Heather or somebody in your family. So Molly is like following Julio. She's like, rewind that back. Well, maybe she didn't say that. I rewind it. But she's like, of course he did.
She knows she didn't need to say it because you obviously had the remote.
Because it was going to happen. Yeah, it was going to happen. And of course, she's like, that guy is just unbelievable.
Here's the windup in the 2-2 again. Julio swinging a drive deep down the left field line. Stay fair. Gone. Goodbye, baseball. Above Edgar's Cantina. Welcome back, Julio Rodriguez with his 17th home run of the season. Man, this kid is something.
It's just sort of like marveling at him end, laughter, right?
It's like a bowl of pasta.
Yeah, life is like a bowl of pasta. I didn't see it, but somebody said Mark. There was a shot of Marco, a reaction shot of him turning to somebody in the dugout after the home run, just sort of like rolling his eyes, like, of course he did.
Correct.
This kid's ridiculous.
It's like Felix, nasty. Like, yeah. Just Felix, ridiculous. It's just like, of course he's going to be in a 2-2 count, and he's going to get a cookie just down, and that's just power. Actually, that's more of a lefty power zone, right?
Low and in.
Every lefty seems to love that stroke, that same spot.
What do they call it?
Mike Trout?
The loop zone.
Exactly. Yeah. And righties, for some reason, don't necessarily have that like lefties. Or maybe there's just predominantly more righties.
I think the righties generally like to get on top of the high fat. Like, if you can get up on a high one and club it out, lefties tend to have
Mike Trout's the one righty that has that loop zone, too.
Yep.
If you miss low and in, it is see you later. And, of course, Julio, in his first at-bat back, is going to come back and do that kind of damage. It was a remarkable pull. I was a pull master over the weekend. I don't know if you noticed that or not. But a remarkable pull that the results of it. The question wasn't that great, but the results were amazing. No question, Julio put on a show at the All-Star Game Home Run Derby. I think this was Sunday night after they got swept. But was it worth it? Yes or no? And it was 40 yes, 39 no out of, I don't know, 4,400 votes. So pretty good size little poll there. Almost dead split.
I'm not surprised.
I'm not either. I'm not either.
I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah. I understand it from a fan's perspective who packed out that house.
Yep.
Right? Who paid homage to the team and what they did going into the break and wanted to be a part of it, wanted to be difference makers and wanted to be involved and want to hate these Astros. Right? Who, I think I said to you earlier in this year, are approaching Jeff Hornacek, John Stockton, Karl Malone, Utah Jazz hate. Like, and that's a good thing. Sports hate. Vitriol. A legitimate, like, man, I really
Seattle
don't
sports
like
fans
these guys.
Hate the Astros.
Yes.
They hate them. It is awesome.
Yes.
I hate the Astros. Going to that first game when they played the Astros at home this year, oh, man, they were just going after guys, individual guys, knowing the stories. This is amazing.
So, Brock, are you saying that your answer was clearly it was worth it, but you don't blame people who say
it
wasn't?
Right. That's exactly what it is.
I was saying, it's cute that there are people who think it was worth it. What are you talking about? It was worth it. Of course it wasn't. If they missed the playoffs by a game or two, and it happens because Julio missed four games with a wrist that he hurt in an exhibition, are you kidding me? What in the world would make that worth it?
First of all, there is a long list of grievances I have on how the Mariners have handled their business. If they were to miss the playoffs by a game, Julio doing that would be far, far, far down my list.
It'd be on the list.
It'd be way
on the list.
Down the list.
It would be on the list. When Julio Rodriguez started the home run derby, was his wrist feeling better or worse than after it?
Better.
When it was done, it felt worse.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't make the playoffs, and it's because he missed those three games against Houston, that's part of it. Absolutely, it's part of it. And no, it was not worth it. It was cool. I loved it. It was fun to watch. But worth it? How can an exhibition be more important or interesting or anything than winning baseball games?
What if Julio capturing everyone's attention, capturing the league's attention, says, you know what, I've had this perception from players of the Mariners being this way and handling their business.
Not enough.
Yep. Julio is here. He's the real deal. I want to be a part. I will open my mind to the Mariners now that I wouldn't have before.
That might happen.
Yep.
But that is a reach.
Not really.
Yeah, really.
No, it's not. The Mariners on a national scale, their stars are irrelevant. Uh-huh. Nobody wants to
because like when they got Robbie Cano and everybody wanted to show up.
Yeah, they had to overpay him by like 30%.
But they came and they did pay. The argument is that they don't pay people enough.
Because they have to pay a premium.
And then they did pay them and people still didn't want to come.
You're completely diminishing the whole circumstance. Come on.
Are you two done fighting for crying
out loud? Invited him back here today. I was there on Friday night.
Priming the pump.
Maybe that'll work. But what you know what didn't work? Trying to win three games against Houston without your best player in the lineup.
True.
And I was there Friday night. And I took Cecily to the game. She was really excited. To be fair, she mostly wanted to go see the drone show and the fireworks, which, by the way, were incredible. Have you seen a drone show?
Not in person, no.
It's awesome. You'd love it, Howdy. Seriously, you'd really like it. So,
it's a drone show.
So they do the fireworks. This was their all-star.
Yeah, the opening ceremony is in Beijing, actually.
Yeah, I think they, yes.
I first saw it.
So they did it. They did fireworks for the all-star game, and then they have all these drones. I don't know, a couple hundred drones. I don't know how many it is. And they have lights on them, so you can move them around to create essentially images in motion. So, like, they had the junior swing, they had the All-Star Game logo, they had the Seattle skyline. Like, it was really cool.
And they program it ahead of time.
Yes.
So you press go, and it just does it.
And in the meantime, they have fireworks all around it, which was all part of the show. It was very cool. Like, I was impressed. I really liked it, and Cecily was super into it. But so we're at the game, and we get there right before game time. And then all of a sudden, I look out because I had seen the lineup ahead of time.
Right.
And I see Julio's not in San Francisco. What in the world is Dylan Moore doing out there? And I assumed that because he was, you know, his legs were a little tired or whatever, they decided to DH him at the last minute. Like, you know what? Let's DH him. Okay. And then when I saw that he was scratched, honestly, I was flabbergasted. Two or three innings later, when the rest of my section figured out that Julio wasn't playing, they also wanted to know where he was. Not the most invested crowd around me, I've got to say.
Yeah.
Yes, they were there and cheering, but also the person behind me, I told this story on the air the other day, asked where Ken Griffey Jr. was and what he was doing these days and if he was still playing. So, well, okay.
You know what? Work in progress.
Yeah, we're working on that. It took all the life out of it. It took all the life out of 40,000 people, all set for the Julio party on Friday night, because as great as the streak was and everything else the Mariners have done this year, at the crux of it all, the thing that makes it different is Julio. Mm-hmm. And when he was not out there, and it was, first of all, there were some people who thought he had been traded, which was obviously not the case. Like, he's not been traded. Everybody just take a deep breath. And then they're like, oh, phew, he's only hurt. Like, what? He's hurt his wrist. What do you mean, oh, phew, he's only hurt? My God, at least if they traded him, it would be for something incredible. That took all the life. It took all the wind out of
where
the sails.
Here's where you can be right on this in the long term. Like, definitively, even Howdy will bow to your rightness on this. Mm-hmm. Is if this lingers, and he's just not... I know he had the home run, his first swing, and maybe...
Yep.
Rests a lot of fears, but if this lingers and all of a sudden he's not quite right, or he needs a few more days off here and there, or you know, it just timing or swing or whatever, it just isn't what it was in the previous 2 months, then there is
and that could happen. I hope it won't, but obviously I worry about it. Here's the thing. I'm so excited about Julio and I love watching him so much that I don't want to talk about this. Okay. Even though I do believe it to be the case. Do you know what I mean? It does worry me. It is something I don't like. I don't think he should have participated in the Derby. I don't like Derbies. I don't like any of that.
Yes.
But here's why bigger than the priming the pump thing. The reason that you can't let Julio, the reason you can't stop him from doing that is that it's what makes him Julio.
Correct.
His love of the game, the irrepressible personality, the youthful exuberance. It's what makes him him. And the coda to my story of being at the game is we had the good seats kind of near the dugout. And I looked over and about the sixth or seventh, I guess it was the seventh inning, he finally showed up in the dugout. He must have been getting treatment or MRIs or whatever. And just seeing his face, he's just so happy. Just clowning around with his teammates, watching the game, cheering. He was sitting with Matt Festa and somebody else. And they just like the smile. He was singing and doing the seventh inning stretch. He's singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. It's like pointing at fans. That dude has an irrepressible personality.
That's right. Genuine.
Yeah.
Genuine. And that's the biggest difference than any of the stars that have worn that uniform beforehand. That was not Edgar. That was not Griffey. Even though you hat backwards, fun, life of the party, baseball dude.
Griffey was genuine.
Old baseball heads loved him in that locker room, whatever. But he didn't have a joyful exuberance and a love and a right. charisma for the fans. He did for the game of baseball and his trunk that he would sit on and for baseball history and all of that. That's certainly not A-Rod. There was not a genuine bone there. So very, very different than his peer superstars. And
I can't think of many superstars in any sport, Brock. Who share this level of genuineness? Can you? I mean, name some other superstars that exude that same genuine love and personality.
Well, I would contend that most of this iteration of the Seahawks, it's going to be in the Ring of Honor and if not Hall of Fame, were all very genuine.
They were. Dudes. They were. I guess I was trying to combine genuine and joy together. Right.
Were they? Did they have the joy and the likability and the charisma and the connection with fans? No, but Richard and Cam and Bobby and Marshawn, all Cliff, all Bennett, very, very genuine to who they were. But to have,
I mean, almost to a fault.
Yeah,
I mean, extraordinarily.
But then to have that next kind of link with the fans, and that just
I don't know. I feel like they had pretty good links with the fans. I think I would disagree with that. The joy part of it that shines through with Julio.
You're talking about a magnetism that draws you to them in a positive
way.
You
know who he reminds me of with that? And I've been trying to think of who it is and kind of going through my thought process of players and great players that I've watched over the years. The one that I think he seems to come closest to is Magic.
Mm-hmm.
Magic Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know. I mean, you could argue whether or not you think Magic was genuine. Maybe I think he sort of at some point became such a big thing that some of it was lost. But I think in the early years of Magic, the joy to play the game, the flash that he played with, the genuine, like, hey, I'm going to be me and do this my way, even if it's not the norm in the NBA. He reminds me a little. And by the way, the smile, I mean, two of the best smiles of all time.
Yep.
That's who he reminds me of a little bit, is Magic Johnson, who, by the way, is one of my favorite players of all time.
Yeah, and just thinking of baseball stars, even in the present day or over the last 10 to 15,
I can't come up
20
with
years,
any
not,
baseball player
there's
that's
not
like
many.
Them.
There's not many, right? There's, I mean, obviously Trout is nowhere near that. Barry Bonds, nowhere near that. Just young guns that you knew or just difference makers right out the gate. Gosh, there's not.
Tatis got a little of that. Right. I mean, I think you probably see some of that if you were to watch, and obviously not this year, but if you were to watch Fernando Tatis Jr. every day, I think you see some of that with him and the joy and the excitement.
He's got a little bit more me to him than some of those other guys.
Correct.
Than Julio does.
Yeah,
correct.
I agree with you. Yeah. But I think there's some,
there's joy.
Some of it.
Vlad has a joy to play, but I don't think he's got a magnetism the way that this guy does.
Agreed.
Yeah, he's
Ortiz had some of it. I mean, David Ortiz did. He I mean, that's a pretty good one. You saw him go into the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
You know, we sort of made that comp a while ago of what if Julio and Kelnick reached their heights together, that it would feel little, for me anyway, like David Ortiz and Dustin Pedroia, because I think they both share some personality traits with each of those two guys.
Mm-hmm.
Ortiz is he's a magnetic personality.
Bigger than life.
Yeah. And it's partly because he's so huge, but when he walks into a room, you know.
Yep.
You definitely know. You won't like the Cam Newton one, but there are times where I have felt Cam Newton has that. I don't know whether I can go there because of the selfishness and some of the other issues that Cam has.
And the pouty.
But
moody.
Julio doesn't have any of that. So that's not.
Giannis is another one. Giannis.
Is that true?
Yes.
Just bring everybody positivity, togetherness.
Good one.
Yeah.
Kid's different. And because of it, the Mariners are a little bit different. And now you approach the trade deadline less than a week away. Passan was on this morning, Brock, and he started throwing some names out there. He really likes Tarik Skubal, right? From the Tigers.
He's a Seattle U starter.
Exactly. Yeah, he think I mean, the way he was talking about him as a fit for Seattle made me think he knew something. Just I don't know that, but just the way he was talking about him is like, oh, I wonder if he just has heard some rumors that that's a direction the Mariners may go.
He's looking at an apartment on Capitol Hill. He's got a familiarity in Seattle.
Yeah, no kidding.
Pike's Place Market, the olive oil down there. I tried last night. You know, I told you on your show, me and I now have a mallet finger. I sent you a picture, by the way.
Yeah. I deleted it already, but thank you.
Oh, that's nice.
It's been deleted from my phone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I was up most of the night, not because I was in great pain. It's just weird. And I tried to read through lots of these trade scenarios. We're 6 days away, and there's just a lot of names. You know, Jim Bowden came up with every team. I contacted every team, right? All these names. And it sure felt like the majority of them are relievers. I mean, there's a few names that we bantered about before this season began. Reynolds up in Pittsburgh and, you know, maybe a couple bats here or there. Luis Castillo seems like he's the guy, the number one, the ace that the Yankees and everybody else is going to go after, the Astros now with the injury to their pitcher. So it feels, and gosh, is it going to feel anticlimactic if the Mariners get two relievers?
Mm.
Is that going to be enough?
Well, no, it won't be. I mean, here's the thing. Jerry DePoto knows he needs starting pitching. So if they get anything else and don't get starting pitching, this deadline will not be a success.
Okay,
and Jerry knows that, and he said it. I mean, he's all but said that out loud.
Yeah, he said it to you last week.
Right. So, I mean, if they go get two relievers, Brock, I think everyone's going to go, well, that's cool, but you need starting pitching that you don't have right now, so what are we doing here?
Part of the reason Howdy's there, Mike, I didn't know if I told you this. I don't know if you were included on the text. I did give Howdy a homework assignment.
Yeah.
I said, Howdy, if you're going to come be a part of this, we would love to have you.
Wow.
But I need three players. I need Howdy's silver.
Wish list?
Yeah, I need your gold, silver, bronze. I need your medal stand. Howdy, were you able to come up with three?
Yes. So there's three categories here.
Vinny Catcher Column.
My two favorites and the big swings.
Mike Zunino, who's hurt, unfortunately.
That's right.
Yeah.
The big swings, I think that they have the potential to make them, would be Juan Soto, Pablo Lopez, and Rafael Devers.
Mm-hmm.
Those three in that category, if you're serious.
The Red Sox trading Devers?
The Red Sox are starting to open their mind to open up for business.
I mean, I could see
in their division, and they are not sure what they're going to do. It's they're going to have to make a decision between Devers and Bogarts, and if they like the deals better for Devers, they'll
keep
Bogarts.
I feel like they've already decided to move on from Bogarts, which is why they ended up with Trevor Story. Now, maybe they'll think twice about that, but it's
Story
hard
can
for
play
me.
Any of those three positions.
That's true. So it's hard for me to imagine that they will trade Devers, but all right, certainly
okay,
that
so
would
hold
be
on.
Interesting.
Big swing, those Soto, Devers, and who?
Pablo Lopez. He's a starter for the Marlins, and he's legit. He's ridiculous.
Yeah.
He's a Mariners-type pitcher with 3 years of club control left, and he's a legit ace. He's been very consistent in his career. He's 25 years old.
Yeah, that would be a very exciting
okay,
one.
Okay, so those are the big swings.
Those are the big swings.
Yep.
And the
all
two
right.
that I think that they really should go after, and they have the ammunition to do it, are J.D. Martinez and Carlos Rodon. Those are the two names that I would... They're pure rentals. They're at the tops of their games, and they'd be replacing guys who are upside guys right now, guys that you're hoping will reach their potential.
Yeah.
Those are the kinds of championship pieces I think this team is ready to
So J.D. Martinez obviously is an upgrade over Carlos Santana. You like what Santana's done, veteran presence, all of that, but J.D. Martinez is a significantly better player. I mean, it's not even close.
He's an all-star.
Right.
Yes.
That's winning with great hitting versus trying to win with personality.
Yep.
And obviously the first is easier.
And he's been in some playoff runs.
Sure.
Right? Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
That's an interesting one. Who was the other one you just
Carlos
said?
Carlos Rodon is lighting the world on fire again.
Did you see what just happened? Carlos Rodon got himself in trouble this week, last night.
Oh, yeah. He was kicking a bat, right?
Yeah. So he's had two kind of lousy starts in a row. And he gave up two home runs and five runs in his start last night, Brock.
Yes.
And when he came back to the dugout, he got mad, kicked a bat, and it hit a teammate.
Oh.
That's a no-no.
Yes.
Oh.
Right? And so Kapler had to talk about it. His manager had to talk about it afterwards. He apologized, and then Kapler was like, we're going to be doing some things to help him understand. Like, it was like, whoa, that team is collapsing.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like Rodon. I think that there are other options, but I certainly would not have any issues with Rodon.
My philosophy here for the Mariners at the deadline is that they need to add star type players.
Mm-hmm.
If they really, I mean, they're pretty well set at every position other than second base.
Mm-hmm.
They need to upgrade a starter if they're going to make a big difference and a big jump in the playoff race.
Okay.
Big swings. These are they who should get, and do you have one that they're gonna get, or are those my two categories?
Those are your two categories.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
Those are your players. Okay.
I got a bunch of other players.
I thought there was more coming too.
There's a bunch of other players, but no, that's, I mean, when we get down to it, you want to make a difference. You want to make the playoffs. You want to be serious about this.
There's a couple other names that I'll throw out there. First of all, the kid from Detroit is not a bad, that would be a good pickup. I mean, that's probably the depth starter you need. Young, controllable, etc. Passon said today.
What do you say?
Scooble. Tariq Scooble.
Mm-hmm.
They're in on both. They've on both Castillo and Frankie Montas and maybe Molly. So okay, there's a few options in the rotation as well. I for whatever reason still think it would be interesting now to try to make a run at Marquez.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Right, and hasn't had the same year. Right, yep. Could you buy low?
He's starting to bounce back. His last five starts have been great.
I would love to see them make a run at Germán Marquez. That would be real interesting to me.
Yep.
You don't get as much club control as you once did, and you got to eat some salary, and but so what? Like, okay, he's 27, he's in his prime. Like, yeah, there are some directions for Jerry DePoto to go, and it's just a matter of which one he wants to choose, where he feels they have the most need, and what he's willing to give up.
And he has said pretty clearly to you, as you've talked to him every week, right, that you make these moves in response to two things. Number one, what the market and what the market is willing to bear and what the market's, you know, costing and everything else. And he certainly has tremendous feel, relationships. He's done a ton of deals over his time here in Seattle. And the other thing is, what is this team telling you? What is this team telling you? And you had a litmus test right out the gate. Obviously, sans Julio and your star, you'll get another four games with Houston after they wrap with Texas. But this team also tells you what you need.
Well, they're telling you that they're a good team.
They are.
30 runs differential above, you know, being even. They're right there with all the other wildcard teams and the division leaders in the weaker divisions. I mean,
they're telling me I don't need to see Toro or Baraki anymore. I'm done. I'm sorry. I'm just done. I don't mean to be negative and everything, but I can't. I think he's got the lowest average of anybody in baseball with over 200 at bats. This has not been a sample size. It's not been. He hasn't been. These are the numbers, guys.
What's so funny is I don't think they watch him. I don't even think they want him out there. I mean, like, he's only out there right now because he plays a bunch of different positions and they're not healthy enough.
Correct.
I mean,
he's a switch hitter in late inning environments. So.
And he can play he could do a bunch of different things for you. But I mean, I think once Mitch Haniger returns and you're fully healthy, I don't see how he's still in this roster.
He's got to be sent down.
Yeah, I'm sure he will be. I mean, you kind of look at it and say, well, Haggerty's hit and he's even more flexible.
And
Dylan Moore.
He's elite speed as he showed last night. He can steal a bag.
Dylan Moore is even more elite speed and he's more versatile and he's your backup shortstop and he gets on base. He's the third best on base percentage on the team despite not hitting. I was looking the other, maybe this isn't still true, but for a little while, he and Julio had the same on base percentage, despite like an 100-point difference in their average.
Mm.
Like, the kid gets on base, even if he kind of drives you crazy because he's not as good as you might want him to be. So, no, I agree with that. I think you're right on Toro. The Baraki one is just, that's an opportunity. If you could find a better lefty.
Yep.
I mean, you didn't mention Matt Moore on your list from Texas.
Yeah.
But if they decide they're just done enough, Matt Moore would be a really intriguing upgrade over Ryan Baraki.
Steven Okert down in Miami as well as another younger left-hander who's had some good experience. There's options out there to invest in something that will make a difference.
Yeah, left-handed pitching has been an issue for them in their bullpen for a couple of years. I mean, they thought they had it maybe from Misevich last year, and that didn't quite go far enough. So, yeah, I think that's an opportunity. I would agree
with
that.
When we tape this podcast next Wednesday,
The
Mariners will make over under 2.5 moves.
I don't know how many moves they make, but in terms of players added, I think that's the number. I'll take 3. I'll take the over.
I'd take the under.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I think that they're going to be pretty excited about their current situation, and they're going to be a little bit miffed at some of the prices of things.
Could be.
I think they'll consolidate and make their one move, and that'll be how they do it.
I don't know. They've put themselves in such a position now to really make a run, and it's not like last year where it felt too early. It doesn't feel too early. It feels like, nope, now's the time, and you've got these pieces that you're willing to give up. You know, teams last year asking about Kelnick were told no thanks. Teams asking about Kelnick now are told, all right, let's see whether there's a fit here. I don't know. Those things kind of change the situation for me. I do think they make, the reason I might not be willing to say they make at least 3 is if they make a big one, right? So like, what if they go after one of those guys you mentioned? What if they get Pablo Lopez? But you got to give up some dudes to get him. Well, you probably don't have enough left to also do anything else you want to do with a bat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see them making a JD Martinez like move. I think it's an interesting idea. I don't see it. Do you, Brock?
I think you're absolutely right. It's what do you land with the biggest priority,
mm-hmm.
and what frankly is the biggest priority. And if you listen to Scott and you listen to Jerry, it sure sounds like starting pitching.
And yet you watch the games and their biggest issue is hitting.
Correct.
Right. I mean, and by
although
the way,
yeah. with that lineup on Tuesday night, and when all of a sudden Julio's right. back in there and Kyle Lewis is in there and you can imagine Haniger in there and all of a sudden
all right, JP's hitting but let's walk through this. Let's say you add JD Martinez and he's your new DH and it's a huge upgrade. He's one of the better hitters in baseball. And you're looking at it and going, okay, maybe then you trade Mitch Haniger and try to bring back pitching or yep. try to replace prospects. Or I mean, there's a lot of things. Kyle Lewis, right? I mean, like there's a lot of ways.
There is more opportunity yeah. than Jerry has ever had.
Yep.
This team has given him that jet fuel. This team has told him that clearly. And beyond the waves that you have in your farm system, you even have major league ready guys that you could package and move. There is more in the holster than he has ever had. He has been aggressive in the past. Can't imagine he won't be aggressive this time around. And when we tape next Wednesday,
yep.
the trade deadline will have come and gone, and
we'll
be fascinating. See what they do.
We'll see if at that point the heat wave has ended. It's a little toasty here. I love it. No complaining. I have absolutely enjoyed the night.
Huh? Just hot?
No smoke.
None.
Okay, good.
It's beautiful out. 90 degrees and absolutely gorgeous out. Now, if you object to the heat, you can beat it with Famous Dave's Little Barbecue, America's favorite barbecue. We all know that the summer, when it's hot, it's better with barbecue, but we also know standing around a hot grill when it's hot out or a smoker might not be your ideal situation, right, as the temperatures are over 90. So, easy solution. Let Famous Dave's do the cooking for you. They offer everything from full-service catering to dine-in and takeout. Would you like some highlights?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I'm hungry.
Yes.
They have mac and cheese and potato salad, too, with the beans.
Hold on.
Okay.
Sorry. Let's start, Brock, with the award-winning St. Louis-style spare ribs. Hand-rubbed with Dave's secret blend of spices and pit-smoked for hours over a smoldering hickory fire and then slathered with Dave's rich and sassy sauce over an open flame to seal in all that flavor and let it caramelize.
Man.
Now, do you want to go do that yourself?
That sauce drying on Howdy's cheeks, by the way, when it's 90.
Mm. Does he eat that in bed like
right
he
away.
Was with the pizza?
Yeah.
He gets right into bed and
hot.
Starts licking his fingers.
We did. That was the second day. We did barbecue in bed. It was
so gross. Country roasted chicken or barbecue chicken that's cooked whole and then flame kissed with sauce.
Mm.
Just a little kiss of the flame. The kiss. Sandwiches with slow-smoked Georgia chopped pork, roasted pulled barbecue chicken, or Howdy. Texas beef brisket, piled high in a bun.
Yes.
Plus refreshing salads, starters, and sides, Brock, for you to round out the meal. Don't forget those famous cornbread muffins. It's Famous Dave's. They've got the classic queue to satisfy all your summer cravings. Dine in at one of their Seattle area restaurants, order online for takeout, or plan a big party. They'll bring the queue with the full service catering. Famous Dave's does barbecue famously with locations in Northgate. That's the Ghost Kitchen, Tukwila, Tacoma. View the menus and more at FamousDaves.com. I know, Brock, we talk often about how good-looking Jimmy Garoppolo is, but I think if you'd seen me this weekend, you might have had kind of a, like, wow moment.
You're that good-looking this weekend?
I think I was on top. Right. If you see me on top of a ladder, 25 feet in the air, don't you feel like that would be my best angle?
Yeah, the bottom of your feet?
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. You don't have to see my face at all.
Bottom
what
of
you
your
doing?
Feet.
And my body is pretty much pushed into the ladder, so whatever fat I have is like in between the rungs, so you don't really see that from the bottom.
Uh-huh.
I would say it's my best look.
What were you doing?
Oh, dude, I was pretty handy this weekend. You want to know the different tools I used?
Sure. Yes.
I used a hammer.
Okay, good.
Nails. A staple gun.
Oh, nice. Wow. Okay.
With big staples. Yeah.
Yep.
Special staples.
Yep.
Two different ladders, including the one that goes like all the, the straight ladder up by the gutters.
Yep.
A drill, a power drill.
Wow, cordless?
No, corded.
Wow.
For real power.
Yeah, lots of power.
Yep.
Torque.
Yeah. I used all of those things this weekend.
Did you put one of those fancy awnings like the old people like to do?
No, no awning. We have the new porch, and we wanted to put string lights up at the top. And so I strung these string lights all the way through, and then started with these little plastic, you know, 3M sticky things, which obviously weren't going to work, but gave us a sense of where we wanted everything. And then went back in with the staple gun, and then sometimes had to like screw some hooks in, but those needed dude.
Way to go,
bro. It was a project.
Yes.
You would have been
super proud.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really handy.
Is that where you were thinking of your six Seahawks storylines too?
I was actually, yes. It was while I was doing all that. And in fact, I told our contractor afterwards what I had done. I was like, hey, you gotta come see. We got all the lights strung up. And he's like, oh, you hired another contractor?
Yep. His name was just
Michael. I did it myself. Salk. He was like, well, no, how'd you actually do it? I was like, dude. All right, that's unnecessary.
You have a neighbor teenager that you know.
Basically what he said.
You know what?
I was like, impressive. I was up on top of the ladder. He was like, Mike, you can't call the little step stool that you keep in the kids' room a ladder. It's just two steps. I was like, man, no respect.
You, I think as impressive as anything in that story is that after all of the work that you still talk to your contractor.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't happen a lot.
Well, they're not done yet. We're still kind of working through the last thing.
All right.
No, we talk all the time. He's a good dude. They've done a good job.
That's awesome.
Exactly. Yeah, I was thinking a little bit about those storylines while I was up there, Brock. I had six of them. Since you did six most important players, I figured I could throw in an extra storyline this year.
Oh, good.
Is that my law? Is that my right?
Well, I'm the brains and you're the brawn in this case. So
is
it? Uh-huh. It was my brains and your brawn putting up lights and torque and drills and hammers. So
I did break a drill bit. I snapped one in the wood. That was sort of uncomfortable. But it's hard to balance when you're up there and you're trying to get like three or four things going on at once. The storyline, some of them are more interesting than others. I mean, can they improve the pass rush? This is an every year storyline that we're just sort of bringing back for this year. I don't want to spend as much time on that. The rookie class is a huge one, right? Yep.
Because I love this draft, and I think you got some difference makers in Madden football. We can argue about some of their different rankings and everything else. They put Ken Walker number one as far as the rookie running back class, even ahead of Breece Hall, not by much, but a little bit. And I know the Pro Football Focus guys are excited about him and the opportunities that he is going to get here. We heard the inevitable news at the yesterday with the Seahawks and Chris Carson, sadly, following, unfortunately, the same tale as Cam and Cliff and this neck injury and vertebrae or spinal cord just not going to work. And that means, you know, more opportunity for Ken Walker. There are two tackles, but even beyond that, Kobe Bryant and on down the list, Tariq Woolen, there are some fascinating rookies in this class that are going to get bites at the apple right away.
I'm not going to believe that any of these guys are going to be good right away. If they are, great. But, you know, you and I have talked about this and learning our lesson of, like, just don't count on rookies. You just can't.
Nope.
But
you can count on these guys playing more than any have in recent memory.
Yes, count on them getting playing time and start to see what they're made of to see whether or not they're going to be part of the core.
Correct.
So, yeah, I think there's a lot to watch for in the rookie class. And yes, my eyes will probably go to see what Kenneth Walker looks like when he's out there. And I can't help him. I'll be watching Boye Mafe as well. Like I know that he's probably the least likely to make a big contribution as a rookie.
I think of all of these guys.
I know.
And I know Abe Lucas comes out of an air raid, and I know Cross does as well, and yada, yada, yada.
But those guys are pretty polished.
Correct. As far as just instincts and you know, pass rushing in the NFL, a totally different animal than the Big Ten.
Yeah.
And who you face week in and week out, he's got a lot of polish to do.
And, you know, we've seen draft classes that exceed, and then we've seen draft classes that turn out to be, you know,
disappointing.
Lano Hill, Tedrick Thompson, Mike Tyson, and there's your new secondary. Whoops.
Correct.
So, you know, got to hope this isn't one of those, despite all of the hype around them. Talked about, you know, the whole defensive scheme changes and really a further commitment to actually finding out what Shane Waldron's scheme looks like this year. I mean, that's going to be top of mind. I don't know how much of that I'll get a chance to really see in training camp, but over the course of the season, I mean, that is a really huge one because they've gone all in on this.
I know you chatted with Tyler Lockett on your show. Did you get a chance to ask him about the defense at all?
No, we got cut short a little bit, so I didn't get to get into everything I wanted to.
Well, that I think would be intriguing for DK, for Tyler, for Will, for those guys that have been around facing the Ken Norton, Pete Carroll, lots of the principals of those defenses, how much they sense and feel a difference.
Mm-hmm.
I think they will be a good barometer of that. How aggressive are these guys? How much pattern reading are they doing? How much match coverage do they have? How much different is their calls? How, you know, the two safety looks and how integral are those guys? I mean,
what do you mean by pattern reading? What is that?
That means, it was funny, we had a friend over last night, knew zero about baseball. High school kid, great kid, football player.
Oh, aspiring. That person, was it the same person sitting behind me at the Mariners game the other
day? It sounded like it, yes. It was wondering if Ken Griffey was playing or coming back or, what he was doing today.
That person also, by the way, was asked why they were booing the Astros and said with great howdy-like confidence, oh, because they're cheaters. Oh, yeah, what'd they do? Well, they were all taking performance-enhancing drugs, anabolic steroids, and now everybody hates them for it.
Great. Very plugged
just
in.
Just not true at all.
Very plugged in.
All I want to do is turn around and be like, howdy, stop talking.
Hey.
No, this
young... easy. They're going to have a taxi squad during COVID for the AAA guys.
Yeah, inter-squad.
Uh-huh, inter-squad. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, tell me more. Yeah,
they screwed it up.
This young aspiring athlete, different questions. And we were talking a lot. He's a thrower, quarterback. So we're talking a lot of pitching and talking about Kirby and that two-seamer he threw that started at the hip to the lefty and like moved, yeah. I don't know, 18 inches
at filthy.
95 miles an hour. And he's like, well, how do hitters see that? I'm like, yeah. Exactly. That they have to get a read right out of the hand with the spin, and they try to get any – I'm going to link this back to your question of what's pattern reading. They're trying to get any feel, any link as to what is coming. Well, it's the same thing, pattern reading. What are they doing in their splits? What are they doing in their formations? What are they doing in their tendencies? When they're in 2x2 or they're in 3x1 or they're in these different sets, what do they like to do? What is their tendency? What is their, what is their tell from a pitching standpoint, a poker standpoint, an offensive standpoint? And that was never, I mean, to a degree, remember we used to play that fun Richard Sherman sound where he's talking about, hey, they got a tight split, watch a grave digger, da, 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 da. And he's kind of working through all of kind of what the offense is doing.
Yep.
They did that, and they did that at a high level because his IQ and acumen's off the charts, but also because they were pretty simple in what they did defensively. So it was really reading, okay, here's all these formations, here's what they're doing. We know what we're doing, so now let's try to just tendency-wise jump on what they're doing. This is a little different because you're mixing and matching different zone coverage, man coverage, different techniques, different combos, different two-on-one situations that you've not really done in the past. And it is important to really study those splits and study those tendencies and try to get a tell of what they're doing so you can jump the pattern. When Clinton Hurt said to you, we're going to be aggressive. When he said on the YouTube channel, we're going to be aggressive. Well, I want you in practice to pull the trigger and go after it.
Mm-hmm.
If you see this 2x2 combination and you see this release off the ball, you can anticipate what? You can anticipate this route and this combination off of it. And I need you jumping that route. So that is a lot of what pattern reading is.
And then how much, overall does Pete stay committed to this, especially offensively? Is this now Shane Waldron's show? And does that look different without Russ in there? So, yeah, I think that's a big one is following these new defensive coordinator or new coordinators, rather, in the directions they go.
I think this is going to feel, by the way, and I know you got three more and I'm not going to interrupt all of them. I think this is the more I think about it, it's going to feel more Jared Goff McVay offense than certainly Stafford or Russell Wilson offense. You've got to think back to when Goff was running it. Mm-hmm. And by the way, having some success, taking him to a Super Bowl, getting big money from them.
He's the best comp for Drew Lock, right?
Yes, he is.
The best version of Drew Lock is Jared Goff.
Yeah, Drew's got more RPMs. Jared's got a little more accuracy and anticipation. But yes, that would be it. And
his best.
They were a run, play action, screen, outside run, make everything look the same. Everything comes off of it. Get on the move. Drew is a better athlete than Jared Goff. Again, anticipation and accuracy, not as much, but movement even better. Pushing the ball down the field even better. So I think for Seahawks fans, you got to get a little more into remembering that mode of that offense, because I think that's what it's going to feel with, by the way, Todd Gurley. There's your Kenneth Walker, and you're going to do it by committee, where they were almost all Todd Gurley, but that's more of, I think, the feel of what we're going to see.
Well, and that should suit Rashad Penny pretty well, too.
Yes, it should.
I mean, that with the cutback lanes and all of it, I mean, that's Rashad Penny to a T.
It's both of these guys.
Yeah, I mean, that actually is sort of intriguing. So, you know, the scheme changes are a pretty big part of this year. You know, the next one for me was sort of life without Russ and Bobby. And that sort of takes me in two directions. On the first one is just like, it's easy to talk about how you're ready to move on. It's another to go out to practice or watch a game and not see them.
Yep.
Right. And you're like, okay, I think they did the right thing on both cases. I think they needed to move on from Russ. And obviously I've been saying for a while, I thought it was time to go with Bobby. But now you got to do it. Right now, you got to go out there and be like, wait, is this defensive linebacking core ready to step up and be Bobby Wagner-like in terms of putting everybody in the right place and calling the defenses, and coming up with the hits, and, you know, not, I mean, say what you want about Bobby. He did not make enough big
impact
plays the last few years. But he didn't miss tackles.
And he was steady Eddie.
Absolutely.
Big number 54, eating a lot of space.
And am I 100% sure that that's Jordan Brooks? No,
nope,
not yet. I'm not on Cody Barton either. So, you know, it's another thing to actually see it without Bobby out there. And with Russ, obviously, I mean, it's completely another thing not to see him out there. But, you know, I'm going to be following all year long how Russ is doing.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
has he gotten lost in the backseat of that truck? I mean, like, there's a lot of questions about Russ.
What was that?
As a big truck. It looked to me like a Toyota of some kind.
Oh, my gosh.
There's a lot of lights on that truck. There were lights everywhere.
It had vents. It had lights. It had a tire on top of
it. I think it might have been a mobile stage.
Really?
You could drive it up and it just all the lights shine and create a stage.
And Sierra can do her new jump song right on
top
of the
tire. You know, I wonder if maybe that was from the jump.
Oh,
video. I didn't watch the whole video. I just saw the GIF and I was like, I'm probably out on this.
Well, everybody's doing big arrivals this year, right? Aaron Rodgers arrived looking like Nick Cage and Con Air, which was amazing, I think. I mean, that was planned, obviously, right?
He looks fit, too, by the way.
Did you notice in that video he just dropped his duffel bag?
Yeah.
Like, who picks that up?
Who cares? He don't care. He's just like, whatever. I don't care.
Everyone's focused on his look, his hair, and I just, when he dropped the duffel bag, I'm like, why did he just drop that in the parking
lot? I'm sure he did it for the, you know, for the cameras and went back and got it.
Like Aaron Rodgers went back and got something?
He's got a person for that. He's got his version of
he
Jake
sent
Heaps.
An intern to go
He's got it. His Jake Heaps. Everyone has to have one. Russ has got the actual one. And
Jake is the bad guy for
Russell.
Yeah,
don't you think?
He's the bad guy.
Somebody's got to pick it up. And so Russ shows up. Maybe it was with Sierra's truck. But wearing his own jersey?
Yeah, it's just bizarre.
What is that? It's bizarre. That's weird.
That's real
weird. Of all of the weird Russ things, that might be the weirdest.
Yeah. You know what he's very much not? John Elway and Peyton Manning.
A human being?
No, just those two guys. We kind of went back and to just kind of that whole connecting thing and genuineness and everything else. And Elway, in different era, different time and everything else. But you listen to Schlereth and Wyman and those guys, right? They just loved that dude. And, you know, just a warrior, helicopter spinning at 38 years of age, body broken down, don't care, and just showed up. I mean, year after year, didn't miss time, just an absolute warrior, connected. This whole Denver, you know, it is John Elway. And then Peyton showed up, and he's the sheriff, and he is all about business, and it is all about work, and it is all about just holding people accountable, and starting with him. And here comes Russ in Sierra's truck wearing his own jersey. I mean, it's going to be fascinating, especially week one, if they come to Seattle.
Come on, don't you think, one, this is calculated? And the reason he probably
everything
did
he does is calculated.
Isn't it because that Broncos Twitter freaked out that he wore his own hat throwing out the first pitch in a Rockies game? And so he's like, well, I got to make sure that people know that I'm all about the Broncos, so I'm going to wear my Broncos gear coming
in. But it's his jersey.
Yes, and his Russell Wilson Russell Wilson shoes.
If you're Russell Wilson and you want to prove that point, wear a John Elway jersey. Where are Carl?
Where oh, man?
All right, fine. Yes. All right, so that's weird. Okay, so that's weird. Okay, take scrap
Steve
that one.
Atwater.
Wear a Steve Atwater jersey or a Carl Mecklenburg jersey or a Terrell Davis jersey or you name it. Okay, if you're just trying to show Bronco, you know, loyalty, let's ride. put on one of their jerseys.
Yes.
A Rulon James. Was that the guy's name? Or Rulon Jones? Something like that. Dude, they had some dudes back in the day. Wear a Clarence Jackson. K jersey.
Yes.
Wear a Ricky Natiel jersey. Wear a Vance Johnson.
Wear a Mark Schlereth jersey.
There you go. Wear a Tom Nalen jersey. There's a lot of ways you could go to show your Bronco pride without wearing your own name on your jersey there. Yeah. That's weird. That is weird. I'm sorry.
Yep.
But okay. the more important stuff with Russ
yes.
is not that. I will be fine. I've said this a million times. I'll say it again. I'm looking at two things. I'm going to go two ways. Two things with Russ. One, how many yards does he run for? He ran for 13 yards per game last year, lowest of his career, even lower than the year he hurt his leg in two spots. Mm. The year that he had the high ankle sprain and the MCL, he ran for more yards per game than last year when his legs were fine. That's weird to me. Mm-hmm. And I want to see, was he sandbagging a little bit in his last year here because Jody Allen said, I want people that are 100% committed? Was it because of the Seahawks offense, which doesn't make any sense to me? Or was it that he's slowing down and he's not running anymore? Mm-hmm. So I want to see what Russell does in terms of being a dual threat this year. Second, if he throws for 5,000, 5,500 yards like he seems to want to do, what effect does it have on his turnovers, and what effect does it have on their team's winning percentage?
Correct.
Because if they win with it,
and it's Russ's system, and he gets to be volume,
they go to a super. If they go to Super Bowl that way, it is a bad look for Peter Carroll.
So if it's Tom Brady and the Bucks, exactly.
Yep.
That
if he goes there
scenario.
And throws for 5,500 yards, and they win a couple playoff games, and at least make it to the AFC Championship game, that's a bad look for Pete.
Mm-hmm.
And if the opposite happens, and they start throwing the ball all over and it doesn't go as well, Pete looks like a genius.
Yep.
Just like, yeah, sorry, that's not who he is. I appreciate that everybody wanted him to, but we're going to find out, don't you think?
Oh, yes. And just fascinating enough that week one, we'll get to see that live and in person, which will be fascinating.
But it's not going to be determined in a
week. No. That won't tell.
This is not going to be one of those things where every week you're like, he was right, he was wrong, he was right. We'll start to know after a year. Honestly, because it's about what the long-term success of it is, not whether or not it works right away.
Mm-hmm.
This year's two more storylines. One is, you know, essentially who's part of the future? Who's the nucleus? Do they have any stars on this team?
Who's Cam? Who's Richard? Who's
Earl? All right, after DK Metcalf.
Who's Bobby? Who's going to be your core? Is that going to be Daryl Taylor? Is that going to be Rashad Penny? Is that going to be Ken Walker? Is that going to be your two offensive tackles? Is that going to be Jordan Brooks? Is that going to be one of these young corners, Trey Brown, Kobe Bryant? Like, those guys made their presence, kind of like Julio Rodriguez, right? He has shown you right away, yep, I'm the guy.
Yep.
I'm the guy. And you know who else did that? Cam and Earl and Sherm and Bobby and Russ pretty darn quickly. Yep. Maybe not in the first six games, but you knew pretty quickly after that first year, like, yep, these dudes
are. Is anybody going to emerge to join DK as being a dude?
Yep.
As part of a core. All right, they don't have to be superstars, but are they stars? Are they starters? Are they part of a nucleus that's going to eventually turn the corner here when the right quarterback shows up? So, you know, that's obviously a huge part of this year. And then the last one, and are they trying to win?
Mm-hmm.
Are they trying to win? Are they trying to have a successful season? Is that the goal? I don't know the answer to it. I'm not saying it's not, right? I mean, certainly they re-signed Quandre Diggs. They're going to re-sign DK Metcalf, I'm sure. I mean, they went out and did some things.
They did not trade their valuable real estate in the draft. They went and got the best players available at that time, in my opinion.
They've made some hints and shown some signs that they are absolutely trying to win. And even if the rest of the world doesn't like their roster, they don't care. Even if, you know, Mike Sando's quarterback tier list shows that they have two guys that should not be starting in the NFL. They don't care.
Mm-mm.
Even if the guy who's going to take the first rep of practice later today was given a 60 grade by Madden Football below Jacob Eason, they don't care. They believe in him.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe all those things are true. On the other hand, it's also possible that they are kind of head nodding to the idea of winning with the real goal of being tops in the draft next year in order to get the guy they really want.
Mm-hmm. I think that's fair. I would land on just knowing the wiring and the deep. John Schneider, Pete Carroll, and I think what Jody Allen has shown and what she demanded and the changes that were made, that it is, you don't have time in this league. You don't have time to let all of this fan base and all of this passion and all that was built start to decay, especially, oh, by the way, when that team right across the street that has stubbed their toes for 20 years, that has not had a young superstar, that's not filled that stadium mm-hmm. in July with 40,000 people. And even, you know, I was curious after that disappointing Houston series, what would come back here for Texas? Would we see 9,000, 7,000? What
no,
would we see?
It was
11,000?
Packed. It's not it was correct. Packed. It was a good 000. Crowd. Yeah.
Yes, great crowd. So for the first time in some time, there is actually legitimate competition across the street. And they're aware of that. There's no question in my mind that ownership is aware of that. And they have had the keys for the last 12 years. So I think, Mike, you've got to compete. And there cannot be any mindset of, yep, we'll be willing to win 3-4 games this year. And fans will understand. That's just not the way the nature of the NFL works.
So, yeah, Brock, getting ready. I'll head over to practice here for the first time today. First training camp practice of the year. All eyes on... Well, not DK. So all eyes on
Tyler.
Jamarco Jones isn't around anymore for you. So I don't know. I'm trying to figure out where all
Jamal
eyes
Adams.
Are.
Yeah. Jamal's on a pup. That was a good sign.
Yeah. Right? And same with Quandre. That was good. Yeah. That was good to see.
Yeah. I think all ears will be on Clint Hurt. You're going to hear him.
It's true.
You know, so there's going to be some youthful exuberance. I think a lot of energy, youthful defensive coaches. I think you're going to sense and feel a lot of that. I think there's a bunch of youth on offense with the tackles and Ken Walker. But ultimately, this is going to come down to, and whenever the networks, if they do come out, they're going to come out and talk about the QB situation. I mean, that's just the world you live in. You said it last in your storylines that, you know, the void of Bobby, I think in some ways easier filled, especially with Jamal and Quandre experience there, new scheme, yada, yada, yada. But the void of Russell is going to be real.
Mm-hmm.
This NFL, it's just when you travel around, as I do for college football, and I listen to sports radio around the country, it is very clear. There's a very common axiom today, and that is in the NFL, you either have a quarterback or you don't.
Right.
And you're either legitimate because of that or you're not. And in Denver, they feel like for the first time in 7 years since Peyton, they're actually relevant and they've got their quarterback. And in Buffalo and in Cincinnati and in LA and on down the list. And, oh, in Seattle, you actually don't. And by most people's accounts, you have the worst QB room in the league.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be the conversation. I will say this on the Jimmy Garoppolo. Here's the one area that you could convince me, because I've been a believer that these guys need their opportunity. You need to see what Drew Lock is. It's not like Jimmy Garoppolo is a top 10 guy. It's not like he gives you 3 more wins this season. I just don't think he's that caliber of guy. He's number 16, 17 in the league. He stabilizes it. He may give you a game or two or handle late game situations better. But here's what he does. Here's the case that could be made at the end of the month. If this is you go out there and
Can
others are out there, it is.
Can I guess?
Yeah, go ahead and guess.
It's that he, I'm trying to think like Brock. He gives you a better, more fair look at the other players on 100%. The team to figure boom. Out whether or not they're in your nucleus.
And he passes to the man and boom goes the dynamite.
Wow.
Yep.
I'm a student. I'm a student of Brock Ewer.
Yeah, litmus. Masterclass in Brock Ewerdry.
Litmus is on my little paper right here. It's squared. He gives you a litmus test for your tackles.
Yep.
To actually get rid of the ball on time. And he knows the time, and he knows pressure, and he knows how to check out of things, and he knows defenses, and he knows the ins and outs, and he knows the system, and he knows the language well enough that he's a little quicker to it. And he gives you a better litmus test for your young receivers. Not for DK and Tyler, right? They've had the best or near the best, and they've been able to see it, and they put up 1,000-yard seasons and Pro Bowls and everything else. But for your Eskridges, for Noah Fant, for Ken Walker, for Abe Lucas and Cross, and for your group up front, and even for your coordinator to that mm-hmm. measurement, it
yeah.
gives you a better understanding of what you have and what you don't have.
You could argue
forward.
It would help on your defense as well. I mean, helping you decide what do these guys look like in close games late, because you'd be a better team.
Yep.
Right? So, yeah, I you're right. They should go to get me, Jimmy Garoppolo.
To me, that is the most convincing. That's going to take him some time. He's
well,
injured.
The other part of it is what you first said. Do you have a quarterback or do you not? I mean, like, if that's the litmus test, Jimmy Garoppolo is having at least a quarterback, whereas currently you do not.
Well, the San Francisco said we do not, to the point that even though you took him to a Super Bowl, they draft a guy number three overall.
All right. Well,
that's what they said.
In that regard, yes, I agree with you. They saw Jimmy Garoppolo as being, you know, in Sando's terms, a tier two quarterback. And they said, we want a tier one. We want to try for greatness. And so they went out and tried to do it.
Yep.
There's a very good chance they're going to take a step back.
That might be a little bit of a stretch. If they're going to try for greatness, wouldn't they immediately upgrade instead of just hoping that their guy turns into that?
Well, no. They traded up for the number three pick in the draft.
But that guy has yet to show that he's going to
I understand that. But the reason they
and
did all
that. They're ready to move on from that guy before they even know that he's ready to
I'm
do
saying that,
that
the reason they went after Trey Lance is because they wanted to. They were willing to take a risk to upgrade. I get it. I think they actually did the right thing, even though I don't know that they got the right player. Fine.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Garoppolo is no worse than Ryan Tannehill. He was ahead of him on that list, and the Titans had the best record in the AFC last year, number one seed.
Mm-hmm.
So they're an interesting test case.
Mm-hmm.
Do the Titans qualify as having a quarterback or not? Because I would say they do not. I don't think that he is a legitimate Super Bowl quarterback. Right? Do you think Ryan Tannehill could win a Super Bowl?
No.
I don't know if he could win one, but I don't think he's that much from Jared Goff or Jimmy Garoppolo, who got teams to that game.
Yeah.
Here
I don't
in
know.
Recent memory.
I kind of put him in that category, though, of like, he could cost you a Super Bowl. Yeah, every once in a while you get a Trent Dilfer or a Brad Johnson or whatever, but they have to have such a unique talented team around them in order to win it.
Yep.
I don't think Ryan Tannehill is quite in that category. And I probably put Jimmy about on par with Ryan Tannehill, but they're significant upgrades over what you have now. I don't believe that that I would be looking for Jimmy as a long-term solution.
Mm-hmm.
It's a one-year thing. While you're trying to figure out your long-term plan, you're getting a chance to look at your guys now, Brock. And you're continuing to build that culture that is so vital to who Pete Carroll is.
Yep. To compete, to be young, to be hungry. I'll be curious from an energy standpoint if it feels any different out there, Mike. I'll be curious from a fan standpoint out on that berm if it feels any different from a number standpoint and just a buy-in standpoint. And do those factors come into play? Do these 3-4 weeks of training camp and what that looks like come into play? Does Jody Allen sit there and watch that practice from above with Burt Cold and other members of that team and look at it and evaluate it and have, you know, a lot of conversation with John Schneider and the pro personnel department over the coming weeks as well and say, you know, as I watch this, as I look at the fans, as I listen to everything, as I take in what I can take in, as I'm getting my information and my data, you know, by August 30th, when it looks like San Fran will eventually make their move, I think the next 4 weeks do matter. And, oh, by the way, where is Jimmy Garoppolo at? And how honest is he and his team with his progression and his throwing and his body?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen, by the way. I mean, it sure seems like they are going to just do nothing with him until right before the start of the regular season.
Yeah, August 30th, right? Yeah. That's
brutal. That's just, I mean, that's tough for him and sort of makes it a tough fit for him here with Seattle. You've got what, Pac-12 Media Day? Are they still doing that?
Yeah, they're doing it. not like they used to.
Are players going to that? They're going to do interviews and stuff?
Players are going to it. Wow. Coaches are going to it. ADs are going to it. If you remember, I've had some remarkable stories on the air and off the air about that dinner and function and sitting around the tables. And
hanging with Mike Leach.
Hanging with Coach Leach and Rich Rod and Sumlin and Larry and all the crew.
What about Rich Rod?
Rich Rod's crazy.
Yeah, I forgot about that guy.
Yeah, they were crazy. So, no, we would have a really nice dinner at the steakhouse, and you'd sit at a table, and you had 4, 5, 6 hours. You're mingling with coaches, ADs, commissioners.
Where are they doing it? I know for a while they were doing it in L.A. Are they doing it in Boise this year?
No.
Okay.
No. Still,
checking.
Still in L.A.
Sacramento, Fresno, where
but
are they doing it?
Let's just say 2 weeks ago, schedule change. No longer a dinner. No longer commissioner at the dinner. No longer ADs at the dinner.
Oh, really?
No longer a dinner. No longer a dinner.
No, it's now a bag lunch.
What?
Now we're going to do a little social hour.
What?
Yeah. A little meet and greet drinks at like 5 to 7. So, very, very, very different little feel.
Yeah.
How will you, and by the way, remember this, USC and UCLA are at these meetings.
Of course.
Chip and Lincoln, Riley and ADs and their players. How will that go? So how's that going to be? Is there sitting in there? It's going to be.
Who's the happiest guy in that room?
Chip Kelly.
That's what I was thinking. I mean, he's along for the ride. He lucked out.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, Lincoln Riley must have known some of this was coming when he signed on. Yep. But Chip is
Chip
like,
got his extension, his AD, Martin Jarman. He had no idea. Yeah, they're along.
He is so happy right now.
Yes. No question. He was happy when I saw him at the spring meetings a month, 6 weeks ago. So, A, he was happy because he got his deal then. And B, maybe he knew some of the writing on the wall where this was going. Who's not happy? Pat Chun. AD at Wazoo. Who's not happy? Jonathan Smith, head coach at Oregon State. Who wasn't happy? Scott Ruick, the head women's coach at Oregon State, who I saw at some of these AAU events, and Kelly Gregg and others, Kelly Graves. So, yeah, I will have a good report for you on Friday morning and let you know just what a debacle, cool. unfortunately, that will be.
All right. Well, we'll hear more. We'll see what the Mariners continue to do when we meet again for our next podcast. The trade deadline will have come and gone. No more waiver deadline. So this is like your chance. If you want another pitcher, this is your chance to go get him. So we'll see what Jerry's doing. That's why I think he'll be fairly active. And then we'll see where the Seahawks are at a week from now as well. Mm. So, Howdy, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you for
and blessing us with your presence. That was nice. It was good to see you.
For the big swings and the should gets.
We'll see what happens. Until then, the hay
is in a barn.
See everybody.
Get to the chopper!